Not counting a handful of runoff elections, this year's primary election is in the books in North Carolina, so voters, candidates, and officials are all beginning to turn to the general election in November. What does that mean for lawmakers running for re-election, especially as they turn to the General Assembly session, which is just around the corner? Democratic State House Minority Leader Robert Reeves of Chatham County recently addressed that with 97.9 The Hill.
I mean, at this point, every month is October. And what that means is, I mean, you've got to take every single day and use every single minute that you've got available. My campaign staff and I were talking going forward about doing things across the state. We're talking about what we've got to do, obviously, in district. But, I mean, it's just a lot of work. I mean, when you think about it, if you look at the last couple of election results, you've basically got 5.5 million people who are participating in the voting franchise. We expect that to be a larger number this year. So if you say 6.5 million people, you just got to figure out how to get to them. Because, again, it is shocking in some senses what people's ideas are. There was a poll this morning with WRAL that was talking about the fact that nobody likes any candidates. And, you know, and so a lot of what we got to do on our side is make people understand it's a binary choice. This isn't going to be one of those things where, hey, if I sit out this election, then something good is going to happen. When you sit out the election and somebody that you don't like just got to vote.
That's Robert Reeves speaking there. The election in North Carolina is, as he says, likely to be close, so every vote is important. And that includes on campus, where political discourse is already ramping up among students. But political polarization is ramping up as well, especially around those so-called culture war issues. Walter Reinke filed a report on that for the UNC Media Hub.
Culture wars, it's not a term of art.
It's a term that gets thrown around a lot, and it means a lot of things to a lot of different people. To Dr. Kathleen Culver, director of the School of Journalism at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, it's about talking politics.
The sort of public battles over what should and should not be accepted practices in the country.
Partisan politics has been a feature of American life since its founding, but Culver says it hasn't always been a war. She puts the start point at 1987.
I would actually put it at the removal of the fairness doctrine from the FCC.
She says this led to the rise of talk radio, especially on the right, which then led to things like Fox News and social media algorithms.
That, to me, is the point in time where we really learned the capitalist lesson that enraging and polarizing people can make a lot of money.
Eventually, the culture war made its way to college campuses. Dr. Daniel Classic, an education professor at the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, says that's because of the unique role universities serve.
Universities, though, are one of the few places in society that really force people together in a way that kind of we don't see elsewhere. And so that really makes them a place that is kind of ready to see many dimensions of culture wars play out.
For some students, campus is the perfect place for those to play out.
College is a unique time and experience where we have the freedom to do so, and in our fact, in my opinion, are encouraged to do so.
Colby Kelly is a sophomore at UNC. He's also a writer for the Carolina Review, the campus's conservative newspaper, and the co-president of UNC's Turning Point USA chapter. He defines the culture war as ideological clashes, often about cultural or social issues. On campus, that often plays out through things like protest or speakers. And Kelly wants to see more of those events. But other students aren't so thrilled about the culture war on campus.
I think students are fed up. I think this agenda of culture wars, this platform of banning drag shows, you know, demonizing people because of their gender, because of their race, because of their sexual identity.
Sloan Duvall is the president of UNC Young Democrats. In her view, the culture war is a set of policies pushed by the Republican Party and doesn't belong on campus. One thing she does agree with Kelly on, that the university has taken a neutral stance. Classic says that's often the goal of universities.
They know, especially the public ones, that they are a place for like all of the people in their states, right? That everyone should feel like they have a place there.
But even if they try to remain neutral, Classic says it's unlikely the culture war goes away.
I think the key takeaway, right, is just that because of kind of this unique space that universities hold in American society, they really become a focal point for all of people's kind of anxieties and concerns about kind of broader things that are going on in the U.S.
I'm Walter Reinke, reporting.
For the Media Hub, an advanced course in the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media, you can find more of their stories online at mediahub.unc.edu. Elsewhere in UNC news, the university just received a $10 million gift from an alum to promote the humanities on campus. The donation will fund scholarships for humanities majors. Donor Stephen Israel says it's the first step in a larger effort to raise $100 million for humanities education on campus. The humanities got another boost last week as well. The American Council of Trustees and Alumni recognized UNC's philosophy, politics, and economics minor as a hidden gem for its effort to promote interdisciplinary education in the liberal arts. Meanwhile, UNC has announced the names of four individuals who will receive honorary doctorates at this year's spring commencement, including some names you might be familiar with: dance choreographer Michelle Dorrance, former UNC trustee Richard Stevens, and former Chapel Hill Mayor Howard Lee. They'll be honored at commencement on May 11th. In state news, a three-judge panel of the State Court of Appeals has ruled that a Confederate monument has to remain in place in Graham because state law prohibits Alamance County commissioners from taking it down, even if they wanted to. The NAACP and other groups had sued to get the statue removed as a symbol of white supremacy. Meanwhile, in Raleigh, the General Assembly over the weekend got a not-so-positive award from a national media group. The Society of Professional Journalists gave their Black Hole Award to North Carolina lawmakers for passing a law exempting themselves from public records laws and enabling themselves to shield records from the public. The Society gives a Black Hole Award every year to government agencies who work to limit transparency and violate the public's right to know about government actions. Back locally, the Chapel Hill Town Council meets tonight at 6. Council members will hear from the public on a proposal to strengthen stormwater management requirements to account for stronger 100-year storms, plus a plan to adjust lighting requirements for the new Aura development at Estes and MLK. You can get a link to the full agenda on our website, chapelboro.com, and visit Chapelboro for more local news as well, including details about a new Zaxby's restaurant that's set to open off 15501 in northern Pittsburgh. And finally, happy 30th anniversary to a local institution, Fleet Feet, which opened its Carrboro location on March 19th, 1994. That was yesterday in history. Their national headquarters opened in Carrboro in 2001. 6:19, your time. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by Chapel Hill Tire. Thursday is game day for Carolina men's basketball, round one of the NCAA tournament, and now we've got the opponent. Wagner held off a late comeback to beat Howard 71-68 in yesterday's play-in game, so UNC will face the Seahawks tomorrow in Charlotte. Top-seeded Tar Heels will be led by R.J. Davis, who got named a first-team All-American by the Associated Press yesterday, first UNC player to earn that honor since Justin Jackson in 2017. Carolina's a favorite to make the Final Four for the 22nd time in team history and among the favorites to win it all. But on his radio show this week, head coach Hubert Davis said he's trying to break that journey up into smaller pieces.
Instead of looking at it like 68 teams and you got to win six games to win a championship, I learned this from Coach Smith and Coach Guthridge and Coach Williams, just to kind of break it up in parts. And so I said, look, right now, the only thing that we need to focus on is the Charlotte tournament. We're going to Charlotte, and we're playing either Wagner or Howard, and if we're good enough, then we'll play the winner of Mississippi State and Michigan State. Let's have our focus on winning two games in Charlotte. We win two games in Charlotte, then we'll get invited to the Los Angeles tournament. And then let's go to the Los Angeles tournament, whomever we play. Let's see if we can win those two games. We win those two games, and we'll get invited to the Phoenix tournament. And then put it like that, and I just feel like that's a great way to just get the guys to focus on the most important thing, and that's the thing that's right in front of you. That's Wagner and Howard, and instead of looking at other things.
And Hubert Davis there. Tip off tomorrow against Wagner will be at 2:45. We'll have all the action for you right here on 97.9 The Hill. Elsewhere in sports, UNC women's golf tied for second out of 15 teams at a meet in Hawaii that wrapped up yesterday, and the Tar Heel baseball team rolled to an easy win over UNC Wilmington last night, 11-0 at Bosch Emmer Stadium. That's 20 straight home wins for Carolina. They'll look to keep that streak going this weekend when they host Georgia Tech for a three-game set. Off the field, a couple legal developments in the sports world this week. First, Clemson University has joined Florida State in filing a lawsuit against the ACC, challenging the league's grant of rights deal that imposes a huge financial penalty on schools who try to leave, suggesting that Clemson is in fact trying to leave. Meanwhile, a number of student athletes have filed their own lawsuit against the NCAA, challenging their ban on athletes competing in outside competition with prize money. UNC tennis star Reese Brantmeyer's named as the lead plaintiff in that case, which got filed in federal district court in North Carolina. Back in Chapel Hill, UNC has announced another exhibition soccer match in Keenan Stadium this summer. Following last year's sold-out match between Chelsea and Wrexham, UNC will be welcoming Manchester City and Celtic FC to town on July 23rd. Proceeds from that game will benefit the UNC Children's Hospital. And finally, the Carolina Hurricanes got another win last night, 4-1 over the Islanders. Canes are back home tomorrow, hosting the Flyers at 7.